points out a problem. There's a huge demand for low-cost insulin, and yet there's no supply. And he says while innovations in insulin over the past 90 years have really been significant, it's important to ask this question.
Do these innovations merit the loss of affordable insulin?
For patients at his clinic who can't afford insulin, Green says, the answer is clear. A less expensive option is needed. Anders Kelto, NPR News, Washington.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News.
Life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
In agricultural news, a new Food and Drug Sorry for that little technical glitch there. Let's try this again. Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the deficit in the current trade account increased to $113.5 billion, an increase of 14.7% from the third quarter deficit of $98.9 billion. For the entire year of 2014, the account deficit rose 2.6% to $410.6 billion, and it was the largest annual deficit since 2012. This morning, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending March 12th. Here's how it looks in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 14.4, next year, 5.3. Corn this year, 19.8, next year, 2.6. Soybeans this year, 12.6, next year, 0.2. The Energy Information Administration says that U.S. oil stockpiles rose more than expected last week, but not by 9.6 million barrels to 458.5 million. U.S. crude inventories are now at their highest level in the last 80 years. Inventories at Cushing, Oklahoma, rose by 2.9 million barrels to their highest level on record, nearing full capacity at the key storage hub.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 17,935, is down 54 points. The NASDAQ is trading at 44.18, down 2.25. The S&P 500, 2,086, down 6.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It looks like the temperatures out there this morning are rather balmy across portions of the Midwest. That's in response to a new storm system out in the southern plains that's working its way into our region. We expect to see that the precipitation from this work its way across the lower parts of the Midwest during the course of the day today and into the day tomorrow for a little while. This is not a well-organized storm system. It is expected to come across the region with very little fanfare, very little threat of worsening flood conditions across the region. In fact, most areas are just not going to see that much in the way of significant precipitation. A trace upwards to maybe a couple of tenths of an inch of moisture will be about the majority of the kind of amounts we'll see from the system. On radar right now, we do have rain occurring across portions of Kentucky, the far southernmost sections of Indiana, as well as southeasternmost parts of Illinois, and then another area of showers occurring at this hour across parts of eastern Kansas and northern Missouri, and we expect the two areas to continue working their way eastward and expanding somewhat through the day today. Once this precipitation event gets out of the way, we'll have a quick day or two of drier conditions across a big part of the region. There is a cold air mass, though, that will be pushing into the Midwest as we go into the day on Saturday and on into Sunday. The frontal system itself will come into the region with very little moisture, and so we'll just notice the wind switching around to the north and it getting a little bit on the nippy side across the region. And as the frontal system works its way finally to the southernmost parts of the Midwest, we'll start to see a weak little low-pressure system form along the frontal boundary back in the plains. And that frontal system and the low-pressure center associated with it will work its way back to the east as we get into the early part of next week, setting the stage for another opportunity for precipitation. Probably the most important news potential here is for a significant low-pressure system to possibly develop in the northern plains early next week and work its way through the upper Midwest as we go to midweek next week. Now, of course, we're talking about something that's almost a week away. We have to be very cautious about it, but the computer forecast models have been somewhat consistent about this event in the last two or three days. If it occurs, we'll see some relief finally occurring across parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota, and portions of Iowa, even Wisconsin, as the system comes across the region. I'm a little bit of a pessimist here, so we want to be cautious with the system. I think there's still potential for it to weaken quite a bit before it reaches these areas. And again, it's a system that will occur during midweek next week, so plenty of opportunity for change. In the meantime, our temperatures across the region today will be mostly in the 40s and lower 50s, and we'll likely see a little bit of a warm-up trying to occur tomorrow. It's not likely to have a huge impact on the region, but we will see temperatures tomorrow afternoon working their way into the upper 40s and 50s in the northern parts of the Midwest and 50s and lower 60s in the south. Saturday will continue to be very warm in the south, with areas from Missouri into southern Ohio and Kentucky in the 60s and lower 70s. Enjoy it while you can, so turn right around and cool things back down again as we get into the late weekend and early part of next week. Monday will only be in the 30s and 40s in the northern parts of the Midwest and 40s to near 50 in the south. Our lowest temperatures at night, once we're in the cold air, will be back in teens and 20s in the northern areas and 20s and 30s in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for the Agricultural Weather Report on WILL comes from Busey. Busey's online and mobile banking allow you to stay connected to your finances and manage your accounts anytime, anywhere, using your mobile device. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 559 up 6, now 6 and a quarter. Soft May, 514 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter, now up 4. May corn, 373 and 3 quarters, down 1. July, 381 and a half, down 1 and a quarter. December, 399 and a quarter, down 3 quarters. Call it the July of 16, 420 and a half, down a half. May soybeans, 965 unchanged, now down a quarter. July, 970 up a quarter. September, 957 and a half up 1. November, 950 down 3 quarters. May soybean meal, 321.20 up 40. May soybean oil, 3062 down a penny. April live cattle, 157.10 up 52 and a half. March feeders are 213.72 and a half. They're down 52 and a half. And April lean hogs are 59.77 and a half. And they are down 92 and one half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, yesterday we had the Federal Reserve remove the word patient, and that dropped the dollar in overnight trading, but we've since come back, and much of the gain we got out of the market in corn and beans from the dropping of the word patient and the dropping of the dollar now is giving up those gains.
Yep, evaporation. I thought, having seen the overnight trade, that when May corn went back over 375, well, we're back into that sideways, and we fell under that again this morning. You know, we didn't have any great export bookings on corn, beans, or wheat. I guess we did on the meal side of things. But, you know, December corn gets over $4, and there seems to be somebody willing to be a seller up there at that 402, 404 area. So we're back down below that.
And now the market sort of bides its time, because the next thing on the horizon are the end of the month reports with the quarterly grain stocks and the planting intentions.
Yeah, and I feel that the grain stocks report's going to show really good use of corn in this last quarter, so that may not be a bearish factor on the corn, but we still have an awful lot of farmer holding of corn, and farmers right now are kind of mad that prices are where they are, and so those slammed shut bin doors are staying that way.
They may all own, what, more than half of the corn in the U.S. still?
Yeah, I would believe that's what the December 1 report showed, and my guess is that it might even be a hair higher than that.
Mm. So the question then becomes, as we begin to look at new market possibilities for many producers, which really haven't done a whole lot of anything yet, what kind of timeline are you thinking about their possible marketings to be?
Well, I think that growers are going to have to be looking at this, any kind of spring bounces in the new crop corn. I think we've not got enough risk premium now that we're under $4 on these futures to satisfy this market should plantings be somewhat delayed, particularly in the Mid-South.
A quick word about livestock before we let you go.
Holy smoke, we had another huge day up in the cattle. Actually, the April cattle closed best since the middle of January. We recovered about 50% of that early year sell-off. We may have done what we needed to do in the live cattle for right now, but certainly the hogs were seeing a lot of pressure on them due to spreading and continued rumors that we're seeing Brazilian pork come into the U.S.
Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.